Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Midland County has first coronavirus death. Man who was county's first confirmed case died Tuesday, by Stuart Doreen. The man who was the first confirmed case of coronavirus in Midland County died Tuesday. City of Midland and hospital district officials reported the death of the man, who was in his 60s. No other details will be released at the request of his family. The man was being treated at Midland Memorial Hospital and had no significant underlying medical conditions, according to hospital officials. The man will be at least the 10th death in Texas, according to Texas Department of State Health Services, which is tracking cases of the new coronavirus that causes COVID-19. The DSHS reported Tuesday that there were 410 confirmed cases and 9 deaths across the state, according to numbers from 8 p.m. Monday. Dr. Larry Wilson, the hospital's chief medical officer, said the only recognized factor for the man who died was age and that he had no significant underlying medical conditions that we were aware of. During a Tuesday press conference, Wilson said COVID-19 has a mortality rate of about 1% in the United States, but at the end of the day, this virus can kill people, something that we've been saying every day. It was previously reported that the man came to the hospital on March 14th, and it took about 72 hours for results of his test to return. MMH officials had stated that the man had traveled around the United States recently because his job required that he travel. I'm heartbroken over the fact that whether it was this or over someone last week associated with something else, it's a loss of life, Mayor Patrick Peyton said at the press conference. And I hope that everybody in our community understands that's what we're entering into now. In many respects, we can control. Everybody in the city realizes they are driving life right now. And the way we do life right now often determines the health of others, not just my health. And so it's very important that we understand what has happened here today. And a life has been lost, and a loved one has been lost, Peyton said. And it's not because of something we've not heard of. And if another life is lost, it's not going to be because there's something we didn't hear about. And then more and more people get sick in ways that are associated with us transmitting within this city, then we're not taking seriously the crisis that's upon us. This article is entitled, City Leaders Vote Against Stricter Measures, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council talked about stricter measures, but ultimately decided to follow Governor Greg Abbott's orders announced last week. City leaders on Tuesday approved the implementation of a disaster declaration that is basically in line with what the state's Republican leader submitted last week. Abbott's order is in place through April 3rd. There was a push by Michael Trost and Jack Ladd for more stringent measures than what the governor put in place last week. The at-large and District 3 representatives specifically wanted to limit the number of people who could be in stores, including grocery stores, to 100. Trost and Ladd argued the health risk was too great not to consider limitations, while admitting there were too many questions about how to enforce such a mandate. Ladd, in particular, stated that the local medical community could benefit from a 2-week break that he believed stricter measures could provide. Ladd attempted to add amendments to the resolution. The First Amendment called for big box retailers to self-regulate by limiting customers to no more than 100 at one time. That motion failed for lack of a second. The Second Amendment attempted to mandate that if a person is found to have been diagnosed with COVID-19, then all family members should be required to shelter in place for 14 days. Trost seconded the motion. It failed by a 2-4 vote. Ultimately, Mayor Patrick Peyton pointed out that the Midland Chamber of Commerce will communicate with larger stores about best practices and interaction minimization efforts. There was also a concern that mandates could create an adversarial relationship with businesses in the community. "I would like to keep it that way," said District 4 Councilman Lori Blong on the current relationship with business. She, like the mayor, said Midlanders are already responding favorably to requests and declarations already in place, and additional mandates might make people more angry. Peyton said after the meeting that other areas have introduced or passed what appear to be more strict shelter-in-place resolutions. However, with the pages of exemptions in places such as Dallas or Waco, those measures become toothless, or at least bring those communities basically back to where the governor is, he said. When asked about enforcement of stricter mandates, Police Chief Seth Herman said Midland is already seeing an uptick in crime with the current restrictions. He said juveniles had stolen around 20 guns during burglaries of vehicles. Herman also said he favors asking store operators to use conscious compliance when handling matters of their customers. Last week, Abbott announced an executive order that will limit social gatherings to 10 people, prohibit eating and drinking at restaurants and bars, while still allowing takeout, close gyms, ban people from visiting nursing homes except for critical care, and temporarily close schools. This article is entitled, "Two More People Test Positive for Virus in Midland," by Stuart Doreen. The book on coronavirus, COVID-19 in Midland after Tuesday is as follows. 3 confirmed cases were inside the county, 2 were reported on Tuesday. 1 death, the man who was the first of the 3 confirmed cases, died Tuesday. 1 other part-time Midland resident is a confirmed case, although he is in Mississippi. In the Permian Basin, there have been 5 confirmed cases, according to the Midland Health website, which also reports that 20 new tests took place Tuesday in Midland alone, bringing the total in the city to 169. Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer for Midland Memorial Hospital, said at an afternoon press conference Tuesday that he believed there had been 6 or 7 negative tests so far. Wilson also said 3 people in the critical care unit at MMH are persons under investigation, and 8 in the COVID ward, he is uncertain about their respective statuses. Wilson did say the youngest was 28 and the oldest was an octogenarian. If Tuesday was any indication, one doesn't have to be at the hospital to be a confirmed patient for coronavirus. 2 cases announced Tuesday are both recovering at home. Officials stated Tuesday that 1 is a juvenile who traveled with his or her family and was exposed to a known person who also tested positive. The other confirmed case reported Tuesday was tested by a private physician. There is no known traveling that took place with this patient, who is said to be in his mid-60s, according to the City of Midland Health Department. In both cases, the confirmed cases are recovering at home because their symptoms don't require a hospital stay, officials said. Such concerns would include oxygen saturation and fluid needs. Wilson said none of those being treated at the hospital are hospital employees, and none of those working on the front line are symptomatic. Wilson added that the flattening of the curve when it comes to coronavirus will happen when residents take it upon themselves to shelter in place. He said this is hard because Americans are unfamiliar with pandemics. He said there hasn't been anything like this since the 1918 flu pandemic. "I don't believe that it's working as well as it could," Wilson said. "If you look at the countries that have been most successful in curtailing and flattening that curve, it's about getting really disciplined about being really careful about self-isolation and basically sheltering in place. Unless people do that effectively, we're going to have more infections. And with more infections, we are going to have 15% of those who are going to get sick, and some percentage of them are going to die. This article is entitled "Trost Asks About Tax Relief for Small Businesses" by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council has asked the city staff to start working on providing information on measures for tax relief. Councilman Michael Trost asked other city leaders on Tuesday what they intend to do about small businesses that are going to be hurting because of the impact on the local economy of the coronavirus and falling oil prices. He said Midlanders are in extraordinarily tough circumstances, and he wanted to have the conversation about tax relief, whether it was sales tax, property taxes, or hotel motel taxes. In the end, city leaders and staff told Trost that sales tax breaks would require conversations with the Texas Comptroller's Office, and those measures might not be able to be put in place for 30 to 90 days. City leaders have said in the past that Midland's reserve account might be able to make up some of the revenue lost because of reduced spending or decline in property valuations. It is unknown how much additional tax relief measures might add stress to the city's savings. City leaders have directed staff to provide information about what could be done, the processes, and revenue implications. Mayor Patrick Payton said after the meeting, there are questions about sales taxes and what the city has the authority to do. Payton also said that during the next few weeks and months, the city will be involved in reining in certain spending that isn't absolutely necessary. That will include looking at the city's current commitments. This article is entitled "Riddick: Academic Enrichment Week is Not About Printing Out Materials." LHS Prom is Postponed, It's Wait and See for MHS Prom by Stuart Doreen. This week in Midland, ISD academic enrichment isn't about grades and not about printing paper. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick stressed those points during his conversation with the community on Monday. His Facebook live stream provided people information during their first day parents could pick up academic packets or go online to see what materials were available for as Midland ISD prepares students and staff for a return to classroom work, whether on a campus or online. Riddick told parents that while there is work to be done this week, there are no need to worry about grades. He said the goal is to keep students in play and keep them engaged in the learning process. As far as parents who wondered about packets or printing out material, Riddick told the online community that this week's academic exercise was not built around people having to print everything. He hoped parents could do enrichment exercises in a seamless way that is paperless. He advised those with the ability to use a computer, tablet, laptop, or even a wireless TV to take advantage of a 21st century opportunity. For those who didn't have such access or whose options were limited, Riddick said packages will continue to be available. About 400 community members have volunteered to help pass out information at the breakfast and lunch sites across Midland. Riddick also told parents a packet is meant to enrich for the entire week, not at one sitting. He told parents this week wasn't about 8-hour academic sessions each day, but about building good habits so that when things return to a more normal academic routine, students can capitalize on the sprint to the end of the school. Other notes from the Monday live stream. The Lee High School prom, which was scheduled for Saturday, has been postponed. Riddick said the hope is to have the formal in May. The Midland High prom, scheduled for April 18th, is in wait-and-see mode. Residents picking up breakfast, lunch, or academic packets should remember to use social distancing. Pick up the meal and/or pack and head out. This article is entitled "Local Brides Forced to Cancel Weddings After Gatherings Ban" by Caitlin Randall. Months of meticulous wedding planning quickly unraveled for local brides expecting to tie the knot in the coming weeks after Texas Governor Greg Abbott prohibited gatherings of more than 10 people. Erica Escabel said she anticipated her wedding would be canceled before the governor's executive order. She said she broke down crying Sunday of last week when the CDC issued a guideline to avoid gatherings of more than 50 people, realizing it was likely her ceremony wouldn't be happening. Her fears were confirmed Thursday when her venue, the Cuthbert Mansion, called to say they'd have to postpone the wedding after 18 months of wedding planning. "We just never knew something like this could happen," Escabel said. "Something like this crazy." She and her fiancé are hoping they can get married at the courthouse instead, so they can at least be married on the date they planned. And because they spent $500 on decorations, with the date 4/4/20, she said. Jordan Gotcher said she made the decision to postpone her wedding, planned for the destination, on Saturday. "Nobody canceled on me," she said. "I ended up making the decision because I was stressed about not knowing." Gotcher and her fiancé will still get married that day at her fiancé's parents' house. She said her parents, both in their 60s, will be attending the small ceremony. They told her they'll be watching at a distance, though, to protect themselves from possible exposure. "That was upsetting to hear, but our first priority is making sure all of our family is safe," she said. Gotcher said she was particularly relieved to have an alternative plan. But with the coronavirus pandemic still ongoing and her 8-year-old son home from school, she said her anxiety hasn't leveled out yet. "They'll be able to reschedule at the destination and have their planned ceremony at a later date," she said. "They're waiting until everything goes back to normal and it's safe for out-of-town attendees to travel before they will decide when that will be." Escabel said she was also able to reschedule with Cuthbert Mansion and their vendors to have a vow renewal later on. She said she feels lucky because several brides she's connected with through a Facebook group said they were losing all their money they put into their weddings. "We're both relieved," Escabel said. "The stress we had for the past week was really draining." Sarah Strisnewich of Odessa said the process of rescheduling wasn't going smoothly for her. She and her fiancé planned a 150-guest ceremony in Las Vegas for Sunday. Then earlier this week, Nevada's governor ordered all non-essential businesses to close for 30 days. "We were completely devastated," Strisnewich said. "Since our wedding was less than a week out, we couldn't get our money back from our florist, baker, venue, hair, makeup, or airlines. Instead, we have to keep all of the money we've paid to these vendors with them for over a year." She said her venue told her they wouldn't be able to reschedule until May of 2021. "Who's to say what will happen by then," she said, "if these businesses will even still be running?" Strisnewich said her fiancé planned to be married Sunday at a bed and breakfast in Granbury with their maid of honor and best man. She said last week she hoped the bed and breakfast would be open. "We just want to get married," she said, "and we will have to use that May date to renew our vows so we don't lose all that money. It's just a shame." This article is entitled "City Leaders Ask About Ammunition Demand" from Staff Reports. The Midland City Council, while talking about a local disaster order, brought up the recent reports about ammunition being in great demand. Mayor Patrick Payton talked about the stress in the community, even mentioning that he heard a local business recently laid off 380 employees. He then asked Police Chief Seth Herman if he had any concerns about the amount of ammunition being bought. Herman said he hasn't seen anything in the community that rises to a level that would have him worried. The police chief said he believes that for some people who have to remain hunkered down in their homes, purchasing ammunition provides a comfort mechanism. He also made a comparison to those purchasing toilet paper in great quantities. Either way, he doesn't believe violence will come of it, and he doesn't foresee it being a public safety issue. This article is entitled, All City Offices Closed at Least Until April 3rd. In an effort to increase social distancing and prevent community spread of the coronavirus, the city has closed several of its offices. Closed to the public until April 3rd, with potential for extension, are City Hall, Midland Health Department, by appointment only, Midland Senior Center at Kingsway Mall, Southeast Senior Center, MLK Community Center, Municipal Court, Animal Services Facility, by appointment only, and the Scarborough Limebury House. The Citizens Collective State Collection Station, Hogan Park Golf Course, and all city parks currently remain open to the public, according to a press release from the city. All city departments will remain operational, and the public is encouraged to use the list of numbers and emails below to contact a specific department. For the most up-to-date information regarding COVID-19, go to www.midlandtexas.gov. Development Services, Planning Division, 681-7613, answers 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Planning Department at MidlandTexas.gov. Code Administration Division, 685-7410, answers 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. CCIESLAK at MidlandTexas.gov. Permits and Inspections, 685-7390 or 685-7391, answers 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Permit requests at MidlandTexas.gov. Community Services. Several areas of the Community Services Division will answer calls at the following numbers. Health Department, 681-7613, answered 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. You may also email Midland Health at MidlandTexas.gov. Parks and Recreation, 685-7356 or 685-7355, answered 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. L. Williams at MidlandTexas.gov. Animal Services, 685-7420, answered 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. For after hours, call the same number and follow the prompt. Touch 1, leave a message, and the on-call officer will handle accordingly. Or call 685-7110 with a non-emergency concern. Hogan Park Golf Course, 685-7360, answered 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. G. Sykes at MidlandTexas.gov. Utilities. The Utilities Division will answer calls at 685-7270. Administrative Services. Please call 685-7126 for any human resources questions. The following email address will be set up to deliver multiple HR staff. MidlandHR at MidlandTexas.gov. Engineering Services. Please contact 685-7293 for transportation, traffic field operations, potholes, signs, signals, etc. Please contact 685-7287 for engineering, traffic engineering, driveways development review, GIS. Police. Contact the police department at 685-7108 unless it's an emergency. Fire. Contact the fire department at 685-7436 unless it's an emergency. For customer service, accounting, or finance, contact 685-7320. Airport Services. For customer service, accounting, or finance, contact 685-7320. Airport Services. For questions regarding the airport, please call 560-2200. Solid Waste. For trash pickup, call 685-7278. CISD. For questions regarding your computer or dispatch communications, call 685-7489.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American on Wednesday, COVID-19 numbers still a mystery. Officials offer few explanations for lack of information. The story was written by Michael Merlo. City and county officials on Tuesday parroted CDC recommendations of not panicking, hand washing, and social distancing, as well as staying home to prevent the spread of COVID-19, but still released few answers to the one big question. Why haven't more people in Ector County been tested for the virus that was classified a pandemic last week? Ector County Health Department Director Brandy Garcia said that as of Monday afternoon that her department was aware of 35 people being tested here, with 14 tests coming back negative, and that they await the results of the other 21. Quote, I do want to stress that these numbers that we have may vary because there are private labs, and if physicians in the private labs are doing testing, they are to report the results to us only, so we may not exactly know what is pending at this time. End quote. CBS 7 reported that there were 149 coronavirus tests in Midland awaiting results on Tuesday or Wednesday. By press time Tuesday, there were 3 confirmed positives and 1 death. On Tuesday, one by one, officials made opening statements, including Mayor David Turner, who announced that a friend of his had died in Midland from the virus, and said that the virus is serious, although the death rate is very low. Many questions addressed that while most areas are following the lead of both President Trump and Texas Governor Greg Abbott by having daily press briefings, here in Odessa, information has been hard to come by as questions must be submitted and then they may or may not be answered every 48 hours or so. When asked why Ector County's test numbers were so low compared to Midland's, Garcia added that private testing is being done and the health department may not have all of those numbers, and said that she couldn't answer as to why Midland was able to complete more tests. Both hospitals in Ector County are conducting private and public tests, Garcia said. Garcia addressed what Ector County is trying to do to get more tests done and said Medical Center is using the urgent cares to test. For public labs, she said test results take anywhere from 24 to 48 hours to get, while private labs take anywhere from 3 to 5 days. Garcia also addressed why medical center professionals aren't allowed to handle more information being dispersed, saying, quote, the health department is limited on what staff we have because we are all trying to work on this particular incident, and we want to make sure that in the event that we do need to utilize everybody, she said, that would be something they would be considering going forward. The city of Odessa's public information officer then waved Garcia off the stage. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said that as far as being more involved in the process of releasing information, they are, quote, staying in their lane. End quote. Quote, right now what we are trying to protect and to give to our community is cooperation with our other entities. End quote. He said that at this time Medical Center is doing what they think is best for the patients. Tippin also said that Medical Center Hospital is only going to allow visitors to use 3 entrances at the emergency department for ER patients only, the Center for Women and Infants for OB patients only, and the main registration area is for all other patients. Medical Center Hospital Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said that MCH is limiting their hours of visitation, and if a patient has a temperature, then they have to give them a mask, and they are continuing to receive shipments of masks. Quote, "We are setting up a process so that you can reuse your mask after a certain period of time, unless it is soiled. We're providing them the means in order to store their masks so that they can wear that again later in the afternoon if need be," end quote. She said that they are following CDC guidelines to make sure everyone has what they need at the time they need it. Hector County Judge Debbie Hayes, who has not responded to phone calls or in-person interviews in more than a week, explained that the Emergency Management Plan is a group of city and county officials in hospitals and education that come together and discuss what community and individuals' needs are. She said that there is a logistics area that will start meeting today, quote, "so that we as a group can learn to communicate with each other, learn how to push down information to the media." Hayes added that the group will be working on statistic reports that will come from those officials, which would still be funneled through the city's PIO. Interestingly, Hayes referred questions about the jail and game rooms to Rector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths. She said, as an elected official, he is free to answer questions about his response to the COVID-19. Hayes did not address why Griffiths was free to answer questions, but that she and Turner were relying on press releases every 48 hours or so, and why those releases are vetted by multiple people on the response team. Quote, "Our goal is to do those every single day," she said of news releases. Continuing the quote, "I think and hope by the end of this week we will have achieved that goal," end quote. Local businesses adapt during pandemic. The story was written by Michael Bauer. Businesses left and right are adapting to a new reality to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. Restaurants have either closed or moved to carry-out or delivery only, while other places have had to cut hours, as well as employees, in order to comply with the guidelines set forth by the state and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Odessa businesses have not been spared, as they have also been forced to adjust in certain ways. John Blamey, the owner of John's Corner, has seen his landscaping and nursery garden solution business slow down during the last couple of weeks. Quote, "Right now, as sunny as it is, we should be at a full parking lot," Blamey said. But he added that due to more people staying home, he's seen an increase in vegetable sales. Quote, "It has increased our vegetable sales because people are going back to vegetable gardening," Blamey said. "Everyone's afraid of what will happen in the long run, so they're wanting to have vegetables," end quote. One of the biggest changes Blamey has seen has been the lack of people coming in, as well as being limited by how many people they can employ. Quote, "We can't hire as many people to get through spring," Blamey said, "because we're not selling as much as we have in the past. But I'm advertising. We're an open-air nursery, so people aren't too afraid of being in a closed-air space. It has kept us going," end quote. Right now, John's Corner is at 9 employees, but Blamey says he usually has 16. Like with everyone else, it's a situation that's been unprecedented, even though he has seen his business affected by other issues in the past. Quote, "When we went to water rationing, we had to adapt," Blamey said. Continuing the quote, "The city let me water my plant since this was 100% my business, but it affected the business. We hung in there and got through that." Blamey remains hopeful that they can survive this. Hopefully, with the heat rising, we'll get through this, Blamey said. Since coronavirus doesn't live in the heat, let it get hot. End quote. For local eating establishments, it's been a bigger change. At Cork and Pig Tavern, simply dining in has become a thing of the past for the time being, just like with every other restaurant. Quote, it has cut us down quite a bit, Cork and Pig manager Rick Stewart said. We're a dine-in restaurant, and it's cut out about 90% of our business. It's affected a lot of good people who work here. Now we're just trying to get whatever sales we can. End quote. In order to adapt, one of the things they've done at Cork and Pig has been doing different specials. Quote, we started doing our $10 pizzas for carryout, Stewart said. Some of those specials have included some thinking outside the box. Quote, today we started doing our carryouts as well as doing these little survival kits where you can take a pizza with the ingredients home and make it with your kids, Stewart said. It's a little quarantine activity. End quote. Quote, we give you the dough with all the ingredients for our signature pizzas where you can add the toppings, Stewart said. It's a fun little thing for people to help pass the time. End quote. But it's still a struggle to try and do what they can. Quote, we're trying to do specials, but the community's been very supportive, and we're really appreciative of that, Stewart said. We're trying to maintain numbers and be able to pay the bills. It's hard work and long hours. We're just doing what we can. End quote. The hours have also been reduced, now going from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. Quote, we'll do to-go orders, Stewart said. Before, we were doing 11 to 10 Monday through Thursday, and then until 11 on Fridays and Saturdays. One place that hasn't been too affected so far has been Garibaldi's. The restaurant, which has usually thrived on its drive-thru, has still been able to see business continue. Quote, luckily for us, it hasn't been as tough as for other businesses because we do have our drive-thru and that's where we make most of our business, Garibaldi's owner, Oliva Reyes Guerrero, said. While they've had to also do away with dine-in for the moment, Guerrero said the inside business really only gets busy during lunch and dinner rush hours, but that still has posed some challenges. Quote, luckily for us, the only thing that we've had to be accustomed to is shutting down the inside, but that does slow down the business a little bit because people are typically in a rush and don't want to wait in the long line at the drive-thru, Guerrero said. They would like to come inside and take it out, but since we can't have people in the building, that's been our biggest change. End quote.
Also from the front page, Hayes talks action, takes none, and doesn't answer most questions, by Michael Merlo. The public county commissioners meeting Tuesday was closed to the public and live-streamed for social distancing. But Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes managed to attend a public relations event at a local grocery store. Hayes has not returned phone calls from the Odessa American for more than a week and dodged most coronavirus questions during the HEB event where she urged shoppers not to panic. The 10 a.m. County Commissioners meeting was closed to the public for social distancing, but live-streamed its meeting on its website. She said after the commissioners' meeting, she would be able to be reached. When Hayes was asked why the Odessa American has been trying to reach her since March 16th, after she failed to return a scheduled phone interview, she answered, "Has it just been a week?" An HEB employee said their goal was to invite the media to help calm the public and said that the invitation for the media was to focus on HEB, the controlled entry, and social distancing, and that they didn't want to interrupt Hayes' focus on those topics. Hayes spoke about senior citizens saying that they get paid from Social Security. They get one paycheck and it has to stretch a month. Well, we want them to know that they can come in the store and they don't have to worry about not being able to get their items, Hayes said. If Odessa Mayor David Turner were to order a shelter in place, then HEB stores and other grocery stores would be an exception of that order, an HEB spokesperson said. Hayes said Governor Greg Abbott left that decision up to all 254 counties. I can understand why some of the cities and counties up and down I-35's corridor have selected to do that. It is not something I'm looking to do at all at this point, she said. Right now, Odessa has zero cases. Although she thought that Odessa would definitely get a positive case soon, Hayes said the emergency management team and the leaders of the community have been behind the scenes working frantically to make sure they have everything in place to be ready for when they get that first case. Hayes said that she trusts the community and the people that live in the county and that they will abide by Abbott's 10 rules. We're just going to proceed in that fashion, Hayes said. That she came into the store Tuesday morning because she's a hands-on person and said that there are items on the shelf. There's toilet paper, there's milk, there's water, there's produce. So if everyone will just shop for themselves for a 2 or 3 day period and allow other people to come into our stores and shop, then I think it will help with the panic within our community. When the Odessa American asked what is the best way to reach her, Hayes explained people must go through the city public information officer. The county has scheduled the PIO to send out press releases every 48 hours. The last press release, which was supposed to be sent on Friday afternoon, didn't come until Saturday afternoon. There has been conversation about, I've called the health department and I can't find anybody to answer my phone calls or my questions. There's also been that comment with myself, she said. It's not that we're trying to avoid the media or avoid the question, just what we're trying to do. It's like preparing for a tsunami. You know it's coming, and so our first concern is to make sure that we have the right key people in our community in the right positions, and that is what we have been working on. When asked if there will be any changes to how information is dispersed to the public, Hayes said that the county will still follow the press releases every 48 hours. Jennifer Molina, 32, was one of the personal shoppers standing in line outside of HEB around 7:30 a.m. She said that she has been coming to stand in line for the last week at around 6:30 a.m., waiting for HEB to open at 8 a.m. Molina said that she works as a personal shopper and works for a company where customers place online orders. She shops for those customers and then delivers those orders to their homes. Molina explained that her orders have doubled in the last 2 weeks. She agreed that there are sufficient supplies in the stores and not be panicked. But if you don't get here at a certain time, then the stuff is gone, she said, because everybody gets here and takes all of it. Molina says she usually gets up around 6 a.m. in the morning and she doesn't get home until 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. She said that there have been a lot of elderly people going to the stores early because they can't get the stuff that they need. A lot of my customers are elderly, and that way they don't have to come out, so we take it to them, Molina said. Molina said that she hasn't seen any fights in the stores, but that sometimes someone talks to an employee like they're not supposed to. She pointed down the line of people waiting outside. Everybody has been really cordial, she said. We all talk to each other. We tell each other our stories and stuff, so it's not been bad. Molina started working as a personal shopper about a year ago, and she said it was a lot easier then because when stores opened at 6 a.m., she could get her orders and go home. Now she has to go to the store an hour and a half early just to get in line to go shopping for her customers. Shoppers behind Molina said that she taught them the ropes and how to shop more efficiently. I had to tell them the aisles that everything was on, she said. She knows how many people will be let in, when shoppers will get let in, and the entrances and exits. So if you need to know what aisle something is on, just let me know and I'll tell you. Melina said she wishes people would calm down, and if they would do that for a week, everything would be back to normal and people wouldn't have to stand in line. Melina said the problem is that people are taking everything before HEB can get another truck in, and that people are taking too much. Now everybody's just trying to get a few small things, she said. But that last week she was seeing people pulling two or three carts. They had, you know, a husband, a wife, and a kid pulling three carts that were completely full, so it was crazy. She looked at the line of people standing behind her, and she was surprised there weren't more, and that on Sunday morning there was roughly 100 people lined up to shop. Hello, this is Michael. I'll be continuing to read articles from the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 25th. From the front page, ECISD starts remote school, UIL suspends activities, by Ruth Campbell. Ector County ISD had its first day of remote school this week, and some disappointing news for those involved in extracurricular activities. The University Interscholastic League, which sanctions everything from athletics to music and theater, has announced that all contests, practices, rehearsals, and workouts will remain suspended until further notice, Superintendent Scott Murray said in a phone interview. It's incredibly disappointing, Murray said. We've seen that all across the professional sports associations, we've seen that across the NCAA. Now it's going to hit our athletes and musicians and actors and actresses and all those that participate in UIL sports. It's going to hit all of them pretty hard because we have some pretty talented kids in our system that love to showcase their talents. Many of those students use their talents to continue to the college level, Murray said Monday. At this time, the earliest games and contests may resume is May 4th, a news release on the UIL website said. I really commend our coaches, whether they're athletic coaches or directors. Our band directors and others have really been engaged with their student athletes and musicians, artists, etc., he added. Murray said the coaches and directors have provided some really good guidance and support for students. We've had a lot of online and virtual practices and rehearsals that have taken place, and our coaches and teachers are really taking the best advantage they can of this opportunity, Murray added. Virtual learning has been around for a while, and there are youngsters and people at all levels using it. Our opportunity is to make sure that we get to that place. It's really difficult now. We're not equipped for it in many areas, but we have to quickly ramp up to make sure that we're providing these opportunities for kids, Murray said. It's going to be challenging work, challenging for our teachers and leaders, but also challenging for our parents. We must recognize that and want to make sure that we're providing support. It's a journey that we'll be taking, and every single day will be a little bit better than the day before. On the remote learning front, Murray said that started Monday with 34,000 students and 4,200 employees. We got some really good feedback Monday from parents and from kids. Everything from thank you for putting this together in such a short period of time, and people complimentary of the work, and we are glad that the kids are engaged to challenges with some of the digital resources, some of the links, and things like that, he said. Then the workload. Some of our parents expressed concern over the volume of work, while others in the same scenario were thankful for the work. A message that I want to send to all of our families is, we're on this journey together. Tomorrow will be better than today, and Wednesday will be better than Tuesday, and we will continue to improve the work and the resources that we provide to our families, and we'll continue to improve the support that we provide for them, Murray said. Our teachers have been really busy reaching out to our kids and families to make sure that they're engaged, so we feel very confident about our start today, but recognize that this is a work in progress for all of us. We're taking on new and different roles in this situation, he added. there will be no State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness, or STAR test, this year under Governor Greg Abbott's directives. But teachers are monitoring their students' progress and checking in with them, Murray said. What we are working on is, what will that look like for us? We do have to ensure that the learning process continues. We have to show that our kids continue to grow. How we will measure that. Those are decisions that we are working on right now. Student work, for instance, we are monitoring the work that our students are doing at home and then collecting that. A teacher can see growth over time, Murray said. Our teachers will be working with principals and central office staff to figure out, if you will, over time, how we will assess the growth of our kids. But today, we've got to make sure that every child continues to learn at home, he added. That's why this is such a huge undertaking. That's important. The job of a teacher right now is to remain in contact with our kids and families. Our teachers, one of their responsibilities, is to make sure that they are remaining engaged with kids. We have teachers conducting virtual lessons, teachers creating videos of themselves, and broadcasting those to their students. Many of our teachers are leveraging the power of technology to engage with their kids. We have teachers that are making phone calls. In fact, we did that on Thursday and Friday of last week. We wanted to ensure that every child, every family in ECISD, was connected to a teacher in that two-day period of time, Murray said. Food service is continuing. Some 17,194 breakfasts and lunches were distributed Monday, according to the ECISD school nutrition website. That will continue 5 days a week. But on Friday, we're giving our kids breakfast and lunch for the weekend. So Friday for lunch, they actually pick up Saturday's meals and Sunday's meals, Murray said. Goldsmith Community Center, 310 Avenue H in Goldsmith, is a new meal site for ECISD. We're looking at other locations as well to maybe serve some of our kids that don't have the ability to drive or walk to some of our current feeding sites. We just want to make sure that we're not missing any kids, and so we're continuing to explore those other options, Murray said. Quick hits. COVID-19 cases. The Texas Department of State Health Services website offers updated numbers on cases of COVID-19, coronavirus, confirmed cases in Texas. As of 8 p.m. Monday, it showed 13,235 tested statewide, and there were total Texas positive cases, 715. Total Texas deaths, 11. Midland County had 3. Crane County had 1. Dallas County had 131. There were no reported confirmed cases in Ector, although the Ector County Health Department was aware of 35 residents being tested as of Monday afternoon. Many Texas cities and counties have issued shelter-in-place orders, including Waco, Dallas, Hidalgo County, and others. In the United States, the CDC.gov site showed 44,183 total cases and 544 deaths as of 4 p.m. Monday. The data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. Visit the Texas site at dshs.state.tx.us. Other corona news. The Ector County Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue, will serve lunch in carryout trays for seniors 60 and older. Reservations are required by 9 a.m. Call 432-337-5281. That's 337-5281. Pick up from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the center. The West Texas Food Bank is currently taking donations to purchase all the products needed for their pantry box. Each box costs around $20. Donate to Stock the Pantry at tinyurl.com/W3PV5TY. Meals on Wheels is in need of help with small coolers, plastic bags, and volunteers for drivers. Items can be dropped off at 1314 East 5th Street. For more information on volunteering or to donate, call 432-333-6451. Texans who believe they've encountered price gouging or scam should call 800-621-0508 or file a complaint online at texasattorneygeneral.gov/consumer protection. We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.